Well, good evening and welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. Yes, I am your host, John Crescito. Welcome, welcome, welcome one and all to the show. Thank you for joining us. And tonight, we have a fantastic guest joining us via telephone. He really needs no introduction. He is the one, the only, the godfather of the paranormal. We're talking about Mr. John Zaffis is going to be in the house with Beyond Ghosts. Now, this guy has been doing the paranormal thing for a very long time. In fact, far longer than most of us even listening to tonight's show. And with the plethora of paranormal groups that are popping up like weeds each and every day, they should be listening to this guy because he's been around for a long time and making it happen. He knows his stuff, and we could all learn something from him. And tonight, we're so stoked about it. On Beyond Ghosts, we're talking to John Zaffis. So tonight, demonology, we're talking about haunted artifacts, we're going to be talking about the big TAPS event, Memorial Day weekend here in Buffalo, New York at the Buffalo Central Terminal. Great show. You got John Crescito, you got Martin Shevchik, and of course Ryan, the Professor Willard in the house with John Zaffis. Strap on in, folks, going to be another great show, and glad you're here. Big kisses. Mwah.
Come up to the lab and see what's on the slab.
Hey there, good evening, and welcome to Beyond Ghosts, Interactive Paranormal. It is your host, John Crescito. And before I have the absolute pleasure to introduce our guest tonight, for the hour, I would like to take the opportunity, per the usual, babies, and allow the greatest co-hosting team out there on the radio the opportunity for themselves to tell you beautiful listeners at home you are, of course, in fact, their fans. I am basically a figment of your imagination outside of my voice. They're going to tell you folks what they've been doing since last we met on the radio, why the heck they've been doing that, and why they're not incarcerated, including Marty. So we're going to start first off, love you, Marty. We're going to start off with Ryan, the Professor Willard. And Ryan, how you been, pal? What is going on there, Slice Man?
John, I've been at the terminal the last few days just trying to do a little last-minute cleanup and preparation for the event coming up this weekend.
By yourself?
No, I had some help, but...
Mermaids?
I don't go there by myself, John. It's haunted. I'm scared.
I thought you meant the neighborhood might be kind of on the rougher side. John, but it's haunted. Haunted is the way to go.
I love the neighborhood, okay?
It's a great neighborhood.
Okay, but basically, this event coming up is kind of the start of the summer season there, Memorial Day weekend. And
the hot ticket.
It's the start of a real busy summer for us as well. So I'm excited. Well, good times.
Let's talk more about it, man. What's happening there?
Well, let's see here. We got Mr. Zaffis coming up as along with Steve and Tango from... From the Ghost Hunters there.
I've heard of these fellas.
A little show on Sci-Fi.
Nice.
And we're going to have a good old time. Lecture, meet and greet, ghost hunt. We got new locations open up this time. Last year, we had the floors and the concourse. This year, we got the trolley lobby.
That's down below, right?
Down below the concourse. And I tell you what, that's a freaky place down there. It's a freaky place. So we recorded that Alone series with Para X.
Love it.
And it was...
Get out of the bag.
We had some interesting results.
Yep, we can't say anything. You have to stay tuned and watch, folks, and find out. Great stuff coming up. Absolutely Alone is going to be fantastic.
So ParaXVision.com.
Love it.
And I'm done with my my little lingo here. Let's pass it over to Marty.
You're getting better week in, week out, Willardy. And thank you so much, Professor. That was spot on, mate. Now we're going off to my left, and we're talking to Thing 2. He used to be called Martini. Of course, we're trying to clean up our act. So it's like Beyond Ghost Interactive Paranormal Rehab. And he's no longer Martini. He's just Martin Shevchik. Still know and love him. Marty, what the hell's going on, man? How you been, kid? And what is the word?
Actually doing pretty good. Ryan stole a lot of my thunder, what I was going to say. But
surprise.
I was part of that alone project. I got fucked.
Cutting room floor.
Yeah, probably. They probably edited me right out.
Yeah.
They had two good-looking chicks that were doing it, so they probably just got rid of me.
Why add a third, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why bother?
No, I'm sure you did great, buddy. That's pretty cool that you were in that.
Other than that, staying out of trouble. Gearing up for the summer, like Ryan said. Gonna be busy, 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 busy.
You look healthy.
Thanks.
I love your hair.
Sober.
And you have that, once again, that David Caruso CSI Miami look going. You look very feathery and fluffy.
Someone said, who's that guy on the Hockey Channel?
The what?
The Hockey Channel. You got, oh, Brian Engvall. They said
that. I think your nose is kind of straighter, though.
Yeah, but I got the fluffy hair like him.
You're handsome.
Thanks.
In a masculine way, you're handsome. Is that all you have, though, there?
That's pretty much it.
All right, Mangina, we're done?
If this folds, I'm going to go on Hockey Central or Hockey Channel.
I thought you would have said, like, Playgirl.
Nah.
The feathery, fluffy hair ain't going to cut it there?
I think they got that.
You have two-pack abs.
Yeah, but they took the feathery hair went out in the 80s.
Thank God. Okay, so are we done, gentlemen? Because I have nothing important to say. I never do, so I'm kind of, like, off the hookage.
Okay.
Okay, so now the important part of what we're doing here this evening. You guys are done. Willardian's good. Feathery Fluffy Man is good, right? Yes. So we're going to talk now and introduce our guest. We know and love this guy, and I can't imagine him really needing much of an intro, but we are absolutely honored tonight to be talking to a friend of ours, the godfather of the paranormal himself. We're talking Mr. John Zaffis. If you're there, John, how you doing, man?
Hey,
what's
guys,
going on?
I'm here. How you doing?
Great, buddy. How's everything going with you?
Good. Keeping busy.
That's the way to be. How come nobody else sounds excited but John and John?
I'm excited.
What about Marty?
I'm excited.
Come on, you guys are like old pals, right?
You can't see below the table.
Wait, what is that noise? Okay, so anyway, so John, it's absolutely great to have you on the show. We're glad you're joining us. And as I said, you really need no introduction, my friend. But we're just going to take it from elementary fashion like we do every week on the program. When we talk to our guests, we allow them to take the first few minutes and kind of introduce themselves in their own words to the listenership of Beyond Ghost. So please do that now and take as long as you need, and then we're going to really get into the crux of the matter for the night.
Wow.
He hung up?
That's a mouthful.
Yeah, you want me to just read your Wikipedia status that's up here?
Oh, shoot.
I got when you were born, 1955.
You're not supposed to say that, pal.
No, actually, that's wrong. It's 1956.
Oh.
The lie in Wikipedia.
I'm going to have to put in the thing to Wikipedia to change it then.
Sue him.
Well, I don't know. Best way I could describe it, been doing paranormal investigating for 37 years this year and didn't always believe in it. And when I was 15, 16, had an experience, got involved with it. And basically that's what sent me into starting to read everything I can get my hands on and poke around with, and started going to known haunted locations and doing little investigation type things. I mean, we didn't have any equipment or anything. And then I had teamed up working with my uncle, Ed Warren, for the majority of my entire career in the paranormal field. And during the course of that, about 23, 24 years ago, I wanted to know about demonology and started studying now what it was all about, the different religions and deities and jinn and demons and all those different things, and the religious aspects on how people look at things. And that took me down the road of studying quite a bit of different aspects, working with shamans, medicine men, Buddhists, rabbis, priests, Buddhists, you name it. And I've had an opportunity to work with them, and also working with a lot of the other perspectives of it, trying to learn to understand what this whole whacked out world of the demonology was really all about. And just kept moving on, started working on heavier duty cases, working with a lot of the religious figures out there over the course of years. And just today, still investigate, lecture, speak at a lot of campuses and universities out there today, a lot of the conventions, and enjoy what I'm doing. Enjoy what I'm talking about and sharing what information and tidbits that I've learned over the past upteen years.
That sounds great, my friend. Absolutely. That's actually very wonderful. So being that you've been involved in it for such a long time, and I mean, you talked to literally tens of thousands of people over the course of your career dealing with paranormal subjects, What do you think, from talking to the masses, seems to be, at least in your opinion, the biggest attraction for most people delving into the paranormal?
Years back or today?
Let's start with, how about back in the day?
Back in the day, most people did not want to hear anything about on a negative level. They didn't want to accept the fact that these things occurred. It was very secretive. If it really did occur, and people were very embarrassed to talk about it, they didn't want that stigma of these things occurring and happening. So a lot of the work that I used to get involved with would basically stay very well concealed, and you just didn't really talk about it. But over the past 4 to 5 years, that has really opened up, and I think people are intrigued about the information. Not that they necessarily all believe, you know, that these things occur and they happen, mm-hmm. because I can understand that. If you haven't had these types of experiences, it's kind of hard to even accept it, let alone believe in it.
Sure.
But, you know, over the past, like I said, past 4 to 5 years, the factor of people trying to understand it, what it's all about, is opened right up. And using the word demonology is not something that is frowned upon like it was in the past, because people would hear that term and they would, you know, automatically associate you with devil worshiping and all the negative things you could possibly think of. So it's opened up quite a bit since then.
So what do you say there, Willard? You're looking at me kind of square, pal.
Speaking on demonology, John,
there you go.
It seems that there's been a surgence of popularity when it comes to demonology and people getting into demonology. What do you think it is? Do you think because there's so many people doing a paranormal investigating that they're kind of getting bored doing it, so now they're looking for another thrill? What's your take on that?
Well, you kind of answered part of it there. What I'm finding more so today with the demonology end of it, it's literally exploded. I mean, everybody and the brother wants to become a demonologist, and that's something that I still can't quite understand why a lot of people would even want to get involved with it. But the understanding of it and learning different parts about it is very important if you want to be a paranormal investigator. Delving into it and getting involved with it, the amount of people today that are doing it, it's scary. And people are picking up a book or two, reading the books, and, you know, throwing that title on their name there, demonologist, and it's very scary. Because the ones that are involved with it and have been involved with it, you know, a lot of times we have to jump in and try and figure out what they did or how they did it. And a lot of times unfortunate circumstances do arise where families end up falling victim twice as hard with some of the different things that are being done out there today with getting involved with it. Your key factor, whether it's paranormal investigations, demonology, or anything, you have to take your time to learn and understand what it's all about before you actually start jumping into it. And, you know, here again, it's something I talk more probably today than I ever did before, is that, you know, I did a lot of studying and tying in with a lot of people before I actually got involved with investigating any of this stuff. So I spent several years just studying it and talking to people that have been involved with the field and different things. So I think, though, that is very important to be able to do that. Today, here again, demonology, demonologist, possessed people are things that people are really seeking out. I think it's more of the fact that people want to know if this stuff is for real, if it's really happening, do people really get possessed, and people think by jumping on those types of cases today, unfortunately, they're going to have the next TV show out there, and it ain't going to go that way.
Ain't that the truth, my friend? And definitely, when dealing with a subject like demonology, I mean, I could imagine it takes, you know, a lot of integrity and has a lot of responsibility attached to it. So, Ryan, what were you going to say, pal?
Yeah, no, you know, basically, going back with the demonology and the dangers, is it more dangerous for the person that possibly is possessed, or is the danger lie in with the person that feels that they are qualified to be a demonologist? I mean, what are the problems that can arise from someone who claims that they can help a person? And I mean, really, what could happen if
they can't?
Yeah, if things aren't properly done.
Oof.
What does end up happening? And unfortunately, I have to deal with a lot of researchers today doing this. is that people feel they can go in and just start doing exorcisms or deliverances. And what people have to realize, you know, you go from a logical perspective, we're dealing with energy, and energy can never be destroyed. And a lot of these energies do take on a tremendous amount with them and tie in with different things. And if you're going to go in on any perspective from a spiritual level, you have to have some spirituality associated with yourself, the person that you're dealing with. You have to do a lot of research. You have to find out, are we dealing with somebody that's nuts? Do they got a paranormal problem? Let alone saying that there's a good possibility this person might be subject to possession.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the possessed person is already in a dangerous state. They can make a decision to totally cross over and become purely possessed. And what that entails, because a lot of people don't understand this part of it too, is once a person is purely possessed, that spirit can go in and out of those individuals at free will, or they can allow it to come in, or they can make it stay away. They could do both. So those types of cases are very dangerous and very difficult to work on. Now, as a researcher, when you start going down this road and getting involved with it, once you realize that you are dealing with things that most of us can't comprehend, most of us have difficulty understanding a lot of these things, the way they work and how they work, it puts you in a very vulnerable spot, especially if you're not prepared for it and you don't have an understanding of it. You have to be able to have people out there to talk to, colleagues, people that are knowledgeable with some of these different things that tie in, so you can get a better understanding on what's happening, mm-hmm. and why it is happening, and why these things are occurring with you and some of the experiences you're going to go through. Because no matter what denomination or what area I've ever gotten involved with the paranormal realm, any type of practice, a person has to have that ability, and they have to have that knowledge to what to look for to be able to help safeguard themselves and their team when they get involved with this. And I still highly am against people today getting involved with the demonology end of it, and they're exposing their children, they're exposing their wives or their husbands to all this, and they start having major problems in their home and all kinds of things going on. I mean, you know, over the course of the years, I've always kept my family totally separated from doing all these things. My children were never involved with it. My wife, even to this day, is very isolated, to the fact of what I do with the investigations, what I work with, whom I work with, and what I do. And those are put into place, and I was told that years ago, that is one of the best things, you know, as long as they're not tied in with it, mm-hmm. it does help to be able to protect the situation and isolate the family from it. So I get very nervous and scared when I hear a lot of these people, you know, doing their evidence, and their kids are running around while they're doing it and everything else. It's just that I just don't feel, you know, that it's a safe environment for little children.
Understandable. So obviously a subject like demonology is a very serious endeavor and undertaking. But let me ask this if I may, John. What exactly does it take, and I'm not saying this to advocate people becoming demonologists, but what exactly goes into someone becoming one?
It's a process of learning it and trying to understand it. Years ago, when I did get involved with it, a lot of spiritual people, and when I say spiritual people, gifted people, shamans, medicine men, religious figures, they would always tell me, they go, you have a calling to do this type of the work with it. You just don't walk into it and start getting involved with it. And, you know, John, you have that calling. And with my wicked sense of humor, I'd always turn around and say, yeah, well, tell them to lose my telephone number. because if you had told me, you know, years ago, I would have been as involved in the paranormal arena, let alone the demonology end of it, I would have said, no way, Jose.
Right.
There would have been no way, once I started delving into it, that I'd say I'd be doing what I'm doing today. So, you know, it's isolating. It's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
It wreaks havoc on paranormal teams, paranormal groups. It's one of those types of situations when you are a demonologist, you have to continuously keep your guard up. Things can change extremely fast. Influences can come in, mm-hmm. and it can alter a lot of things within your life.
I
so
bet.
A lot of times when you do talk to anybody that does get involved with occult practices, demonology, or the things on the negative level, they will tell you that it is a very isolated type of environment for us.
Gotcha.
John, is it safe that we can possibly blame demons on all the drama and the paranormal?
No.
Or we just blame Facebook?
Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I don't disagree with you on that one. You have to remember, with the communications today between all the different sites and different things that are out there, do I think that helps to contribute to the amount of drama? Absolutely. The amount of paranormal groups that we have out there. I mean, even, you know, a group will form and, you know, within 2 or 3 months, the group will be splitting because this part of the group knows better than that part of the group.
Yeah.
And then they start turning on each other and then they start coming up with all these crazy things. I mean, the drama within the paranormal realm today, in 37 years of being involved with this, the past 2 to 3 years, I've never seen anything like it.
Okay, well,
I got a quick question there for you, John. What are some telltale signs, I guess you can say, of a demon haunting? I mean, because we've investigated quite a bit, and I don't think we've ever come across anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there something that we should be looking for if we happen to come across it? You know, and well, hey, John, well, we're going to call you up because we wouldn't know what to do.
Normally, if you're dealing with something that has, you know, I always use the word negative spirit or negative entity
mm-hmm.
because we just don't deal with demons. We deal with jinn, the deities, demons. We deal with a lot that encompasses, that falls in with a negative case. And a lot of them would all have to be handled in different perspectives. But your characteristics are usually, you know, where a person is being severely, severely influenced. They're getting bit. They can't sleep. They can't eat. They can't function. They're hearing a lot of these different spirit entities telling them things in their head. Now, don't get me wrong. We got to rule out mental illness first of everything that you could possibly
right.
think of.
True.
But see, you know, that again, there's something else that's changed in the field over the past several years. Most people today, if they're hearing voices or anything, what do? They go to their doctor right away.
Yeah.
It's not like it was years ago where we would have to force these people, you know, into saying, hey, you have to get to a doctor. Usually when it reaches the point where I might be dealing with something on a demonic level or negative level, these people have been to doctors, they've been to shrinks, they've been to everybody under the sun. Nobody can help them. They're on all kinds of prescriptions. Nothing's helping. That tells me, okay, we might have other influences that are infiltrating there, and it has nothing to do with mental illness actually at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when these people start having bad luck, they start telling you there's things sitting on their bed, and there's a tremendous amount of activity that occurs. Now, another aspect, too, and I don't talk too much about it, but it's
yeah.
important to talk about it now, is that spirit attracts spirit, whether it's good spirit or bad spirit. So
okay.
a lot of times when you're dealing with a haunting, you could be dealing with multiple spirit, and different things can be influencing the situations. So going in and evaluating something on a negative level, I usually take my time, and the running joke, and I hear this continuously from a lot of people, John Zaffis was here, you got demons in your house. No, I don't always just do demon cases.
Nah.
So, you know, I do a lot of normal investigating and, you know, different things and
yeah.
just try to get through it. But unfortunately, that seems to be a stigma that will be with me probably throughout my career.
Hey, John, let me ask you this also really quickly. How difficult... And please take your time in answering this question if you can. How difficult is it, in your opinion, to become possessed?
It's usually a process
okay.
that usually takes time. And very seldomly have I ever found that if a person is legitimately possessed, that it happened overnight. The only occasions that I can say that something would actually possess an individual, and it could be very, very quickly, would be a person that starts practicing things and they open themselves up
mm-hmm.
to let these demons or, you know, a lot of these spirits enter their lives with a lot of different types of rituals and things then that process is going to be quite fast. But normally, it does take time. There's the subtle hints of they can't sleep, they're getting, you know, aggravated, and it usually takes a length of time, and it usually builds up.
Okay.
Because we have, you know, the infestation. That's when it tries to wear the person down.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually by the time a person is near that point of actually tossing in the towel and giving in to actual possession, it could take several months.
Oh, wow. What do you say, Willard?
Now, when it comes to demons and negative spirits,
yeah.
What would you consider if you get a negative entity? How much of that would you consider being an actual demon, or maybe just a ghost that has a bad attitude?
Huh. Now, here again, over the course of years, I've learned to understand and comprehend certain things with this. That's what I always tell people too. It's important to understand that in any field, you have to learn to study things, because you can change your concepts and your way of thinking. Well, if you're dealing with a ghost, a human spirit, and a person's getting scratched or they're getting pushed and they got this spirit in there screaming and swearing and cussing and everything, well, if a person was like that when they were alive, they're going to be like that as a ghost. So, you know, again, that's where it takes your time in evaluating some of these types of cases and trying to figure out what particular spirit you could be dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have a feeling on which one it is, it's important to find out what the characteristics of that individual was actually like. Because a lot of times, you know, years back when these things would occur and happen, we would all automatically assume that we were dealing with a demon that could have been, you know, in the house provocating this individual and wreaking the havoc within the house.
Right.
But today, I look at that a little bit differently. That's not always necessarily the case.
Wow. Now, I know this next question might take the rest of the show, John. But and I know in your long career, you've probably seen some real crazy shit. Can you please let us...
Amen.
Can you kind of tell us maybe quickly, or as long as you want, the craziest thing you've ever experienced when it comes to a possession or a demon?
Or even just any kind of regular haunting or anything, poltergeist activity, anything.
We want to hear demon stuff first, though, if we can, please.
When it comes into that, you know, again, even over the course of the past several years, I've witnessed things that I never saw prior to that.
Right.
And one thing that stands out, I think it's about 5 years ago now, I always read stories and heard about a particular demon that could take over an individual. And the person's eyes will turn milky white, but yet you still could see the pupils and everything right through this. Well, excuse me.
Yeah.
Getting involved with this case, I went to go help the priest to assist them, and there were supposed to be several people there,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of people couldn't end up making it, so it ended only being three of us that were there that day. Well, this individual sat down, and the priest went to go do the rites of exorcism and everything like that, and this guy was sitting there very calm, didn't do anything, no thrashing, no nothing. And I'm like, all right, this is a, you know, fairly quiet situation. He opened his eyes up, and I saw that milky whiteness, and I just went, no way. Closed his eyes.
Man.
They finished everything up. He opened them up. He was fine. And he went through the second rites. He opened his eyes up a little bit longer, and I was looking, and I was amazed at what I was seeing. By the time he got to the third round
mm-hmm.
of doing the ritual, over the individuals, he kept them open for a length of time, and you could see the white milky substance.
Oof.
You could see the pupils and everything else right through them. And I just stood there in amazement, and I kept saying, no, this has got to be some of those creepy contact lenses. It's got to be.
Marilyn Manson.
So, you know, that's the only thing I could think of, and then he would just sit there with this little smile on his face. So finally, with the third round got done and everything, he closed his eyes, opened them up, and they were pure brown as they were when we started, and they got done and everything, and I turned and looked at the priest, and I said, am I cracking up, or was that guy's eyes turning white? He goes, yeah. He goes, you've never seen that before. I said, no. It's the first time I've ever actually witnessed
Surprise.
It. So the priest explained everything to me. He said, that's hierarchy, John. He said, they don't need to exhibit themselves and throw themselves around, and they just sit there very calm because the energy's so strong, but it was letting its presence be known.
Mm.
So midstream, after all this took place and everything, I had to think about it. I go back home. I'm calling all different types of people I know in the field. I'm calling doctors and trying to find out if there's any way for someone to make their eyes turn this milky white. And each and every person told me, no, human beings do not have the capability of doing this. Only reptiles have the ability to actually do that. So here again, I had to take a step back and think about that, because I read about it, I heard about it, but I never experienced it. Once you do, that changes your thought process. That changes the way you look at things, because you finally have experienced it.
Wow.
I think that was like, again, on the scale from a 1 to 10 when you're looking at it, I put that at about an 8. And, you know, several years back, again, too, I was heard about and read about how people would levitate. We got involved with an investigation where the woman literally levitated. It was like 4 inches up off the floor.
What?
So, you know, during the course of all that, again, I had to stop and think about it. Because I analyze everything. I don't care what it is.
Right.
And I have to get on the phone and start talking to everybody I know that's been in the field for years, asking them questions about all these different things. And it's just it's the way I process things when I go through them, or I'm witness to these different types of things, to try to get a better comprehension of it.
Okay.
You almost got to be a skeptical believer when you're doing it, to a point.
In a lot of ways.
You have to be. You got to be very skeptical with this stuff. I mean, more so today than ever before. Why? The big fad today is, with a lot of our investigations we get involved with, is, you know, you could be talking to the person and they're telling you about this crazy, horrendous haunting that's going on, and all these crazy things are going on, and, oh, will we be filming this for TV? So, you know, all of us are coming up against this, and all of us are dealing with it, and it makes it a little bit more difficult when trying to figure out, you know, what the heck are we dealing with? Is it a legit case, or what are the circumstances?
Okay. So what are you saying, Chef Chick?
Break?
Well, let's not even take a break. Let's keep going. This is our guy. This is the godfather of the paranormal, pal, John Zaffis. We're not taking a break. Come on, no breaks.
I'm just like a third wheel here.
Dish it, man. Dish it. Questions. I think maybe Marty's possessed, John. He's looking at me all weird like, rah!
Check his eyes.
Man. You know, let me ask you this, too. Now, as far as investigative techniques, I mean, you've been around, you said, doing this for like 37 years. Investigative techniques, as far as, you know, back in the day when you began, as opposed to now, they've probably come, I mean, 100 million miles. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, you have to. When we started, we had cassette tape recorders, our little cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we relied mainly on the information that would come in from the people that were gifted or psychic. You know, that's how I started in this field. That's what we had to work with. And, you know, you'd listen to your tapes to see if you caught any voices or anything on them. Or, you know, we would take our pictures, hoping to get a psychic picture or something like that. But the techniques over the years have advanced leaps and bounds. I mean, today, with all the equipment that we have out there, and I am totally fascinated with all that stuff. Because a couple of the people out in the paranormal field today, they're engineers, and, you know, some of the equipment and some of the things that they're working on, it blows my mind. And I'm intrigued with it, and I'm fascinated with it, because my background comes from being in engineering. I was always in the pharmaceutical for 30 years. And,
really?
You know, I was always in R&D and everything. So all these things fascinate me. So as, you know, new pieces of equipment come out and different things are being developed, I'm very curious. And I think it's important, no matter how crazy something might sound or how bizarre trying an experiment or trying a piece of equipment may sound to people, it's important, because that's how we're going to learn. That's how we're going to make leaps and bounds with getting this data, getting these things recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully someday, I'm hoping we can actually prove the existence of this whole paranormal realm.
Gotcha.
I think that's most important, because, you know, here again, guys, like I always tell everybody, we're getting tons of evidence. We're getting things recorded, you know, our EVPs and hot and cold spots and all these different things. But what the heck does it mean?
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
True.
You know, that's the bottom line. But we're collecting the data, and that's most important.
Right.
And eventually we'll come up with something that we're going to be able to prove the existence of these different realms that are out there, and be able to get repeatability. I think that's everything that each and every one of us strives for.
And where do you think, John, the biggest advancement in the field is going to come? You think it's going to be audio, different principles and theories? Well, which one do you like the best, and where do you think the biggest advancement is going to be? Where's the biggest bang for a buck going to be coming?
It's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really is, because, you know, with all of the equipment and a lot of the different things that are coming to the forefront, it's going to be very difficult to actually say. I mean, I'll go down this road. This is an interesting thing.
Mm-hmm.
For many years, a lot of people, you know, are very intrigued. What do we look like to a ghost?
Yeah.
You know, what do they think? How do they comprehend? How do they perceive us or anything? And for the longest period of time, I would always jokingly, you know, ask the question and would never get the answers. There's been several different times in several different locations I have put that question forth with EVPs or anything like that, and the response that comes back has really blown my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It says, we see you as light.
Really?
Light.
It'll say light. It doesn't say it, we see you as, but the term came back several different times,
uh-huh.
Light.
Wow.
So that blew my mind.
Oh, yeah.
You know, here light. Again, all right, are they seeing us as an energy form, a bright light? And so now I push it even farther and ask more questions in regards to that. I haven't gotten too many answers yet, but
right.
You know, that's come up several different times in several different locations so far.
It's fascinating.
Where did you use that next time?
Light.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Now, John, on your with the popularity in the paranormal, and you've been around for a long time doing investigations and demonology, and what would you say you do to protect yourself on an investigation? And it possibly can a two-part question: what you do to protect yourself when you're on a case? And has anything ever tried to attack you, possess you, or hurt you, whether it's a spirit or a demon?
Nice.
Well, you always have encounters. You always have experiences. It takes a lot to rattle my cage today, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, it does. I mean, bangs, raps, lights going on and off, or, you know, any type of activity like that, it isn't really something that startles me or anything. No, I've never been possessed to my knowledge as of yet.
Right. Thank goodness, right?
But having hitchhikers or picking up on something,
yeah.
You know, that can follow you home or will follow you home, that is going to happen no matter what you do. Once you get involved with the paranormal, you know, I always hear people tell me this time and time again, oh, I've never had anything, and I make sure nothing ever happens. Well, if there's a 100% sure way, I sure the heck don't know about it.
Right.
I mean, what I do basically to help protect myself is that I believe very strongly in the power of prayer. I do prayers before I go,
mm-hmm.
and I do prayers and things before I leave a location. But that, here again, is that 100% guarantee that you're not going to end up having a hitchhiker come home with you? No.
Yeah.
No, and that's the reality of it.
Okay.
You're going to poke around in this. You're going to do investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, you're going to have an experience.
Boom. Well,
you know, speaking of hitchhiking, John Zaffis has a ton of things that he brought home with him that possibly could have some kind of attachment to it.
I was just about to bring up this awesome collection
excellent
of haunted artifacts.
Willie.
What's up with this museum, Zaffis? This haunted museum, this great collection you have, sir.
Yeah, it started, 4 years? I think it was 4 years ago when I opened it up.
Cute.
To begin with. And it was just that, you know, you'd remove a lot of items from cases. And,
right.
You know, I would just end up keeping them. I had a small barn out behind the new barn that's up now. And I just let them pile up. And finally I said, I got to decide to do something with all this stuff. And I decided to set up a museum. But it's not just to tell the creepy, scary stories.
Yeah.
It's to tell what it's about, what these things, how they intermingle, all the different type of religious items, the toys, the jewelry, the clothes, the military objects, the furniture. All of them have unique different stories that tie in with them on how they affected a person or what had happened, what transpired. So I found it very interesting, and the biggest reason for doing it was that, you know, a person walks through the museum, they go through the museum tour and everything, they get a better understanding of what it's all about to have haunted items.
Right.
And it could be just any ordinary, everyday object, correct?
Like a toaster?
Well, I don't have a toaster yet.
but they're out there, right? They could be.
I already heard you tell me that.
I just laugh at that because sometimes they are very bizarre things, but usually it's items that are very personal to an individual. It could be jewelry or, you know, a piece of furniture, an antique or something like that.
Sure.
And a lot of times I have a ton of toys and different things also. And people say, well, what in the world would anything want to attract to a toy for?
Mm-hmm.
And the simple fact of it is it's a very vulnerable type situation. You have to remember kids are very open and innocent to all these different things. And if a spirit attracts to a toy, the child will respond back and forth with that spirit, not knowing any difference.
Yeah, true.
So there are a lot of different toys and dolls and different things that spirit will attract to because it's a very easy target. And very innocent type situation where you would least expect something to attach to it.
What was very first item that you ever removed from a house?
Ever.
You know, I cannot remember.
Really?
I'm being very honest. I have racked my brain. There's like 10 or 15 different things that I have just, wait a minute. You know, I can go back to around the time framing, which was, you know, back in the 70s. But I cannot remember which item came first because, unfortunately, with my cassette tapes, I did a very bad thing and did not put the months and the dates and the years on them a few years back.
Mm.
Ghost hunting 101.
Back to basics.
So, you know, it's a hard thing to remember, but the very first things I ever had were a couple of Ouija boards, a couple of toys, a couple of pieces of jewelry, where in that first year with removing some of those things, but I don't have the actual dates.
Now, John, you got all these items. Your barn, your house has got to be the most haunted place in the country. Are these spirits still attached to these items?
With some of them, I would honestly say I don't feel that there's any energy attached to them anymore. Your ritual items and things like that, bindings have been done over them to seal the energies to them. To be honest with you, there is some activity that does transpire in the museum, but it's very minute. You would think that, you know, it would be the greatest place to do EVPs or get psychic photography or anything like that.
Sure.
But to me, the activity is very, very minimal.
And what is the craziest item you have that has probably the most off-the-wall story that you pulled out of a home?
That's probably the idol. That's where a young guy got himself, he was 16 years old, got himself involved with practicing black magic and doing rituals and spells and everything. And within a six-week period of time, he almost totally destroyed his life, and it reached a point where he just ran down and started telling his parents about it, and they went back up into his room, and he had this altar set up with this black idol statue. And he said whatever he conjured up, it was residing in it, and now it started telling him to kill himself.
Oh, Jesus.
That's the one with the red eyes, right? Oh.
Yes, it is.
Okay. The red-eyed one?
I'm actually looking at your website right now.
It's a great site. Hey, John, can these items...
Each and every one of the, you know, or most of the items... they all have a different meaning, a different characteristic. Far as cases go and things like that, I mean, I have the little Madonna statue from the haunting in Connecticut that the hands actually melted off of it during the exorcism.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I have that here in the Paranormal Museum. That was given to me by Carmen Reed about 4 years ago.
We got to come for a visit to see you.
Absolutely.
I'd love to get down there. So, John, now with these items in the museum, can these items be destroyed?
When it comes to getting rid of items,
right?
And I always tell people this, either bury the item or throw it into a body of water. Never break it, never burn it, unless you have a spiritual person that can take authority over doing that. In certain belief systems, it works and it's successful, but your average Joe, so to speak, should never do that. Because if you break it or burn it, that energy can gravitate right towards you.
Ooh.
So that's the best way I always tell people of disposing things. If you know, they're nervous about it, or, you know, they don't want to touch it, or then I'll always recommend, you know, call somebody in to remove it for you.
Okay.
And why water? Why, what would water do to protect a person?
The biggest thing with water is it's a sealant, and once it goes into the water, it usually will disintegrate or fall apart or break, you know, very easily in the water, and that's usually the end of it. The same thing with burying it in the ground. They could take longer to deteriorate, but
yeah,
it's a sealant, and it's put in the ground there to just help protect it, and or protect the individuals, actually, not the items, but it does the trick, and, you know, those are the two main methods that I've always been told over the years to do to get rid of an item, and it's been very successful because there are a lot of items I have not brought home.
Okay.
I ended up burying them or throwing them into a body of water.
Do you get just random items? You come home from, the day, and there'll just be stuff sitting on your porch?
Oh, absolutely.
Welcome home, buddy. Welcome home.
You know, over the course of the years, no one would touch boxes that were delivered or anything because they didn't know if it'd be something normal coming in the mail or some of my junk coming in the mail.
FedEx was freaked out, huh?
Yeah, so usually when anything does shows up or anything like that, they'll take a look at it and leave it there until I go out and move it.
Now, have you, I mean, as far as the delivery guy, because I'm a mailman in real life, and do they ever have any, you know, like you probably have a regular guy that stops at your house.
Don't fake that, Marty. No,
but I'm saying it, as far as... you probably have a regular UPS guy or a FedEx guy or even a mailman that comes there and drops these off. Have they ever experienced anything transporting these items and tell you, weird things happen while they got the item in their vehicle?
No one's ever mentioned anything to me.
You'll have to ask them.
Nope, no one's ever brought it up. And actually, that's funny, too, because one of the UPS guys, I do know him. He's a friend. And here again at the post office here in my town, I know several of the people in there, and no one's ever brought anything up or said anything.
Because you would think they might, you know, be even freaked out, even wanting to deliver that stuff, knowing what might be in those packages.
You know, I have to say...
Then again, I'm sure as a mail person or anything, you end up getting some really weird things that probably get shipped by people anyway.
Yeah, regular stuff. They don't have to be on it.
Zaffis, this stuff is legal.
Yeah.
You know what, John? That kind of puts a lot of things into perspective. Talking about the Haunted Museum and these artifacts that you keep. Do you remember the movie Trilogy of Terror? And they had that last one with Karen Black and the little that little doll she had, that little native doll.
No, I don't. I don't believe I've seen that one.
Yeah, there was a. It had three episodes in the 1 hour or whatever it was. It had the actual movie itself, but they had three little segments. And the last one with Karen Black, she had gotten this little Zulu warrior from one of her relatives, and it said, do not let the chain around its waist drop, otherwise the evil spirit contained within would come out. Mm-hmm. No freaking talking to you, man. It's giving me the heebie-jeebies. It was the scariest thing I ever saw growing up, and now I'm thinking it's possible. It could be real, because I have a senso. I'm going to crap my pants. Thanks.
You know, it's so funny, because, Marty, you'll appreciate this, too. There's a commercial on TV where a mailman goes up to the front door, and the people are trying to get the envelope or the box from him, because they received a Christmas present, and you look inside the house, and there's this little clown sitting across the room.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember that commercial.
The clown.
Yeah, so, and the people are standing there. They're going, no, we have to get rid of it. We have to get rid of it. And the mailman turns and looks. He goes, oh, it's just a toy. And then they all turn and look, and it's standing right there with them.
I remember that.
That's awesome.
Great commercial.
Okay, so I think we do have one final order of business before we round out the hour, John. We're going to actually be seeing you in a couple of weeks up here in Buffalo.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. Steve will be up there. Tango will be up there.
Yeah.
Ideal Event Management. I think there's one or two tickets left for Friday night, and I think there's a few left for Saturday night also.
And that's it, huh?
Yeah.
It's going to be an awesome event.
It should be a good time.
And that's what, May 28th and 29th?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Going to be awesome. I'm going to be there. Hopefully you guys invite me.
I'm sure you're there, buddy.
I love you, brother.
I'll let him in.
You guys are sweet. Thank you.
And I think the website is idealeventmanage.com. For more info and tickets.
.com. That's right. So what do you say, Marty? You're looking at me again. What's going on, pal? You're eyeing me up over here.
I'm sure John's got some shout-outs he wants to do.
Yeah, Mr. Zaff, is you going to have any shout-outs, any information you want to impart to the listeners, URLs, websites, anything you got, my friend? Take the time now to round out the hour and just let it rip.
Well, I'm kind of excited this year. I'll be down at the Haunted Mortuary. I believe that's in June down in New Orleans. The place is super, super creepy. I mean, New Orleans itself is creepy, so I'll be down there doing an event. That's an ideal event management thing also. And I finally broke down, and I gave in, and I will be going to Dragon Con.
Oof.
In September. I believe it's the first weekend in September, and it's the first time I'll ever be going to it, looking forward to it. They tell me there's like 30,000 people that go in and out of it, and I'm very psyched and looking very forward to doing that this year.
Good stuff. Okay. So any more questions from Martin here or Mr. Willard, the professor? You guys are good?
No, if I ever come across anything that I think is a demon, I'm calling John Stathis.
Or that freaking Zulu doll, huh? Yeah, so I want to say it was great having you on the show finally there, John. We're really excited to have you, and we can't wait to see you in a couple of weeks. So thank you very much for being on Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal.
Well, guys, thanks for having me on, and rest up because we're going to have fun that weekend.
I can't wait, my friend. Absolutely. But before we let you go, don't hang up yet. We want to say goodbye to you off the air properly, okay?
Okay.
So, folks at home, listen to Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal. In the meantime, why don't you go check out the website? It's beyondghosts.com, babies. Be back in a jiff and catch you on the flip side. Ooh ah. You bone daddies and ghoul girls out there, that's going to be a wrap for this week's episode. We're talking about May 25th, 2010. Another fantastic guest who made his debut, believe it or not, on the program tonight. We talked to our good friend, the godfather of all things paranormal, babies, Mr. John Zaffis, demonologist extraordinaire. So we're definitely going to catch up with John again. In fact, we're looking forward to talk to him coming up next weekend at the big Central Terminal event with Taps in Buffalo at, of course, Buffalo Central Terminal. So we'll be getting back with John. Of course, we'll be talking to some other cats that are going to be guest ghost hunters at the event. And we want to talk to all you beautiful folks that are going to be in attendance, all the fans and all the patronages that are going to be you coming down to see those guys do their thing up at Central Terminal. So stop on by. We're going to have a huge presence there, Beyond Ghosts. Stop by the table. Say hello. Get your pictures taken. And, of course, we're going to put you on the radio with us. We're going to be recording some things there for the radio program. Come and get your radio FaceTime, babies. It's going to be a hoot. It's a wonderful location. And all I could say is, like I always tell you, the sky's the limit. You never know where we're going to pop up in the next couple of months. You know, but still got a lot of this year, 2010, left, so we never know what we're going to be doing. We're going to be coming to a town near you. We're going to be sharing the wealth. We're all about bringing the paranormal to the people. That's what Beyond Ghosts Interactive Paranormal is all about. Put that in your pipe, baby. Light it up and smoke it. We'll see you people when we can. Next week, another great show. And love y'all. Thanks for listening. Spread the word. And ciao, bella. BeyondGhosts.com.
And if you don't feel anything, that's fine too.
That's cool in the game with us.